The following program is sponsored by Seattle Open Door Church. Seattle Open Door Church is committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Our doors are open to whomever. No masks required. Seattle Open Door Church is located in downtown Burien next to the Southwest Courthouse. Host for There Is Hope is Richard Dover, the senior pastor of Seattle Open Door Church in Burien.
We're going to start at John chapter 8, verse 32, and then we're going to jump above that. But we're going to start at John 8, 32. Everybody has a Bible or they have a phone, they have something. Everybody is there? If everybody's there, say amen.
Amen.
Even our cameraman has it, so he has it on his phone. All right. I'm going to read two verses, and I want you to raise your hand or shout out when I ask you to if you know these verses, if they're familiar to you. John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many know that one? And you will know the truth will set you free. Now, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. How many know that one? Okay. So most of you know verse 32, and you know the truth will set you free. Most of you know, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. How many know those two verses?
Amen.
Okay. What if I was to say that most of you do not know full context of those verses? Those verses people know, but do you know the context? So what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the context. We're going to start at John chapter 8, verse 12, and we're going to look at various verses. Before we do that, my title is Whom the Son Sets Free is Free Indeed, that you can be free through Jesus Christ. We are going to be celebrating July 4th. It's happening, what is it, Thursday is July 4th? Okay? And we celebrate it in America for what purpose? What's the reason we celebrate it? Freedom, right? That America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Okay? That actually comes from the Star Spangled Banner. So we celebrate freedom in America. Freedom is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We're here today, and we can preach today, and we don't have to be afraid of somebody killing us, shooting us, imprisoning us, because we have freedom in America. Freedom is a great thing. We're going to talk about is the freedom that Jesus talks about. Not America freedom, but the freedom that Jesus talks about. Because America's freedom, many in America, I wonder if not most, in America think freedom means you can do whatever you want. That's what freedom means in America to most. You can do whatever you want. You have freedom to do whatever you want. Now, yes, you have the freedom to worship any way you want. You have the freedom of religion. You have the freedom to own guns. You have the freedom to vote. You have the freedom to not vote. Right? And you have the freedom to live the lifestyle you want to live as long as it doesn't break any law. Do you know a lot of that freedom we talk about has good in it, and there's some freedom that has bad in it? Because guess what you also have the freedom to do? You have the freedom to sin. The freedom to sin leads to bondage. But in America, you have a lot of freedom to sin. Do you know in some countries you don't have the freedom to sin? If you want to be a homosexual in America, you will not be killed. In other countries, you will be killed if you're a homosexual. I believe you have the freedom to sin. I believe you have the freedom to be a homosexual. You have the freedom to be whatever you want to be. You can do a whole lot of things. There's a lot of freedom there. But much of the freedom that we have in America just leads to bondage. How many know that? How many know it's the nature of man? If you give me permission to do what I want, I will lean towards sin. How many know that? It is our nature. Jesus coming on this earth, dying for our sins, that he gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory to live a victorious life. But here's the truth of the matter. Unless Christ is in our life and we allow him to rule and reign, we lean towards bondage. We don't lean towards freedom. Do you know that many of us pick up our chains? We pick up our chains of sin. When you sin, you become into bondage. And that bondage can be all kinds of different things. And so we have that bondage. You know what's amazing? Some people embrace the chains. How many people embrace their addiction? They embrace it. How many embrace, you know what, I need some money, and so I need some money, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go gambling so I can get some money, so I can make money. How many know that those who have that mindset, most of the time, what? They lose. Okay? And the sad part is sometimes they don't lose. So they don't realize they're wearing chains. But then they lose everything, they find out they wear chains. There's all kinds of different chains that we put on. And how many know the devil is behind all of that, trying to grab us? He's trying to pull us in. The problem is it doesn't look like this. Come here, Carmi. Come up here, my wife. You come up here now. You come up here now. Okay? If the devil came to my wife and told her to do something that was sin, and he'd grab her, he probably doesn't wave this. Because she'd run, wouldn't she? So he turns around and uses something sweet. But you know what it really is? He wants to take her out. He just doesn't happen to use this. Do you know he does not want you to have freedom to not sin? He wants you to have freedom to sin. He doesn't want you to have the freedom to not sin. We're going to talk about the freedom to not sin. Somebody else would beat me up if I did that to them. Okay, we're going to take this passage. So we hear in the Word, if you know the truth will set you free. We hear the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But let's look at the context. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. Everybody's there? Everybody's got their Bible? Do I have to look and see if you're looking? Why don't I want you to look at your Bible? Why? Listen, I'm going to be direct right now. If you want to be free, we're going to find out if you want to be free, you've got to be in the Word. You know why some people aren't free? They're too stubborn. So if you're in a church service and the pastor says, grab this verse and look at it, what should you do? Why? So you can be free. We're going to find that out. We just said the truth will set you free. Well, if you don't want to look at the truth, you won't be free. Now, if you're blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, listen to me. Okay, if you're blind in one eye and out and can't see out of the other, Jesus can heal you. Okay, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is going to give principles of how you can walk in freedom. Jesus is going to give you principles that will teach you truths that will help you to be free. And the first truth he says here is, if you walk in darkness, you walk in sin. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're not following him, guess what? You're going to walk in darkness. I have a question for you. If you're walking in darkness, deception, ongoing bondage of sin, have no conviction in how you are living, are you a true follower of Christ? I'm going to read that to you again. If you're walking in darkness, deception, ongoing bondage of sin, have no conviction in how you are living, are you a true follower of Christ? Jesus says, whoever follows will not walk in darkness. So if Jesus says, whoever follows will not walk in darkness, if you're choosing to walk in darkness, you're not walking in the light. You're not following Jesus. Because listen to me. If you're following Jesus, does he take you into darkness? Now, if you follow Jesus, will he take you at times a place of darkness to minister to others that are in darkness? So in other words, will Jesus send you into a bar to minister to somebody in a bar? Listen. Will he? Absolutely. Because guess what? You may never be able to minister to that person that's in the bar unless you go into the bar. But if he calls you and leads you into darkness of the bar, what's his purpose? For you to bring light in the midst of the darkness. Now, some of you think you shouldn't do that. And you know what? That's one reason why we don't have of alcoholics that come to Christ because people won't go where you find them. Okay? Do you have to participate with them? We're going to talk about that in a moment. You don't have to participate with what they do. But Jesus, we talk about in the darkness, if we're going to the darkness, it's the ministers, not to, so we participate in the darkness. Because we're supposed to be bringing the light. Listen, if you're walking in the darkness, if you're participating in darkness and deception, if you're participating in an ongoing sin with no repentance, no heart to repent, you are living in bondage. Do you know that? If you are walking in ongoing willful sin that everybody knows, the world even calls it darkness, then you're walking in bondage and you cannot be set free if you choose to walk in bondage. I got several different chains here. I got nice, clean chains, white. You know, white represents what? Purity. So you know what? My sin is not as bad as that filthy, dirty sin. Okay, if you touch these chains, your hands are going to get dirty. I won't dare touch my shirt because my wife will kill me. But if I was to put these chains on my shirt, what would happen? It would start to get dirty, right? Get messed up. So there is sin like that, and we all know about that kind of sin, and even the lost, even the wicked know what kind of sin that is. But the problem is, for many, they got the sin that don't look so bad. You know, it's kind of like white lies. You ever heard of white lies? What is a white lie? It's a lie. And if you continue to do white lies, you will be in bondage. Won't you? So if you choose to walk in darkness, well, you know, I don't walk in as much darkness as the other guy. It's still darkness. And Jesus wants to bring the light. So if you walk in darkness, if you walk in sin, you most likely are not following Jesus. And if you're not following Jesus, you will live in bondage. And if you live in bondage, the Son can't set you free because you don't want to be free. If you don't have conviction of how you're living is wrong, that's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous place to be. So the next one is we're going to look at John chapter 8, verses 18 to 19. We're on page 894 in the Bible. Everybody has to be in the Bible if they want to be free. If you don't want to look at the verses, why I want you to look at them and read them? Because the Word of God itself will speak to you. I don't know what Pastor Rich is saying. Well, when you read it, you know exactly what I'm saying. But then again, I don't really want to hear the Word because the Word might convict me and then I'd have to repent. John 8, 18 to 19. This is Jesus speaking. I am the one who bears witness about myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Those are strong words that Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you don't know the Father, then you don't know me. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. What Jesus is saying is the Father and I are one. We are God. Now listen to what he says. Just look at it again. I am the one who bears witness about myself. Jesus speaks about who he is. And the Father who sent me bears witness about me. So Jesus speaks who he is, and the Father speaks who he is. He's saying, we are one. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's talking about something about relationship, isn't he? He's talking about relationship. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? In other words, they're saying, where is your dad, Joseph? They don't understand who his Father truly is. Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you know my Father also. And I have a question. Why did Jesus say they did not know him or the Father? Why did Jesus tell them that? Why did Jesus say that to them? Here's the reason why. If you know Jesus and you know the Father, you'll do their will. You do their will. If you have relationship with them, you will do their will. If I have relationship with my Father, I will honor my Father, will I not? If I have a healthy relationship with them. And so Jesus says, you don't know me, you don't know the Father. They weren't doing his will. He's talking to the Jewish leaders, the religious ones, the Pharisees. And they probably got angry as can be. Because then they realize he's saying they don't know God. And they would get angry as can be. And they're a type of people that have another kind of bondage. They are the ones who are controlled by religion, not relationship. They're the ones controlled by legalism. They're controlled by the do's and don'ts. They're the ones that are controlled by nothing that has to do with relationship with God. Is all about the law, all about the rules. Do you understand that that is bondage also? So I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments and tell you to live by them. Every one of those commandments are good for you. And I tell you, you must live by them. And if you believe you must live by them by your own strength, what will happen? You'll be miserable all the time. You'll be in bondage all the time. Now, this take the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, and take Jesus' interpretation of them. Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus says if you even look at a woman, you've committed lust and you've committed adultery. Jesus made the rule harder. So if you try to follow the rule according to Jesus, you're going to have a real hard time. Jesus takes the commandment that says you shall not kill, and he says even if you hate somebody, you've killed them. You follow that commandment that Jesus gives, and you try to do that on your own, you're going to have a hard time. As soon as anger fills you, you will feel guilt, you'll feel shame. I broke what Jesus said, I am no good, I'm worthless, I cannot follow God's law, I am a useless human being. There's nothing I can do to serve God. God is a mean, cruel God. Do you know that is bondage? Legalism is bondage. Trying to fulfill the law on your own strength is bondage. And you are pulled by guilt and shame all the time. You're controlled by it. Everything you do is built upon guilt and shame, and you're pulled one way to another, and you're trying to fulfill God's word on your own strength, and that is bondage. That is not freedom. Jesus said the truth will set you free, and Jesus said that if the Son sets you're free indeed. But if you walk in darkness and you walk in blatant, willful, ongoing, unrepentant sin, you're not free. If you don't know the Father, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a love relationship with God, and you're trying to follow the rules, you don't have freedom. Now, I want you to think about something. Listen to what Jesus says. Go to verse 19, and it's go halfway through, and it says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. That word know means to perceive. To know by observation. In other words, there's a knowing that you know because you can see it. So, for example, I know Carmi loves me because she shows expressions of love. That's how I know. Okay? I know, I perceive, I observe that when this church gave me a benefit package, that you showed love. I perceived, I observed that you showed love. Overwhelming love that blows my mind. You know what it does? It humbles me. It causes me to say, how do I show my love back? As the church showed me love. You see, I observed a love, and then what does it make me want to do? To love back. You see, if you know God the Father, you know Jesus, you know their love. And if you know their love, you want to give love back. If you're not giving love back to God by the life that you live, you have to ask yourself, do you know Him? If you're not giving love back to Jesus for all that He's done for you, you have to ask yourself, do I really know Him as my Lord and Savior? Because listen, if you love somebody, you honor them. You respect them. You do what you can to show your love towards them. If you know the Father, God Almighty, and you know Jesus, there should be something that you're doing that does what? Reflects that relationship. If you know what you're doing grieves the Holy Spirit, causes God to be sad, and you continue to do it, what kind of relationship do you have? And I would argue that you're probably bound up in sin, you're bound up in self, you're bound up in other things, and those things that you're in bondage to is more important to you than God. Lord God, I would pray for each one of us that, Lord, we would embrace the truth, that we would embrace Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for each of us, Lord God, that we would be at a place where we'd be honest about our relationship with Christ. And we would ask ourselves, do I have a relationship with Jesus? Am I born again? Do I have the Spirit of God living in me? Do I hate sin or do I love sin? Do I love the Word or do I hate the Word? Do I want to spend time with Jesus or do I want to spend time in the world? That each of us would really explore and ask ourselves, do I want freedom to sin or do I want freedom to not sin? Do I want relationship with Jesus or do I want relationship with the things of this world? And I would pray, Father God, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they would ask Jesus to take charge of their life. Lord, if there's anybody in this room that knows about Jesus but doesn't know Jesus, that they would cry out to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would pray that anybody that's been in bondage to sin, they would take these principles that we have shared and they would apply them in their life so they can get the victory. That God, I thank you that through Jesus Christ we can have victory over sin. Through Jesus Christ we can live a victorious, overcoming life. Through Jesus Christ that we can have the joy of the Lord and we can have a freedom of not being bound up to things of this world, Lord. I thank you through Jesus Christ we can experience eternity in heaven. And so once again, Lord, I would pray that if there's anybody that's in this room, there's anybody that is watching this TV show, if they have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, they would do that today. They would say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm bound up in sin. I'm bound up in things of this world, and I want to get free. I want to have victory. And so, Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead. You conquered sin, and that you as my Lord of Lords and King of Kings, I can have eternal life. And I want you to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings of my life. And Lord, anybody that has prayed that, anybody that has said that, anybody that's their heart of hearts, that they can be assured that they have eternal life in Jesus Christ and experience the joy of heaven and not face the condemnation of hell. So we thank you, Jesus, that you purchased salvation for us. And through you, we can be free. In Jesus' name, amen. So Seattle Open Door Churches, our vision is loving God, loving people, loving life. Now that's a vision for a church, to love God, to love people, love life. Let me tell you something, that if you love God and love people, you will love life. You know why some people don't love life? They don't love God or they don't love people. If you don't love God or you don't love people, you won't love life. Let me tell you something else. When you love life, you will love people and you will love God. It goes both ways. And out of it, if you have a love and a passion for God, and you say, God, I just love you with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus. So you've done so much for me. Lord, I just love you. Lord, what can I do for you? That's what happens when you have true love. Lord, what can I do? You've loved me. How can I love you? You know what God is going to answer? Love people. That's what he's going to say. He's not going to say, love me, because you already love him. Anybody know the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind. And the second greatest commandment is what? Love others as yourself. So loving God leads to loving people. Let me tell you, if you love God, Lord, I love you so much, what can I do? He says, I want you to love this person over here. I want you to love this person over here. I want you to do this for this person over here. All of a sudden, you start loving people, you start loving God. You don't think that you'll have some fire in you? You don't think you have some love in you? That you start loving life, you're excited about life? Can I tell you one reason most people aren't excited about life? Can I tell you most people aren't excited about life? What are they chasing? They're chasing after things. But when you love life, there's excitement about life and there's a fire. Let me tell you, if you say, I don't have a fire in me, why don't I have a fire in me? Why am I not excited about life? Because you're probably not loving God and loving people. Try it. Just try it. If you think life is kind of boring, just start saying, God, help me to love people. And let me tell you, you won't be able to love people the way God has you to love them unless you start loving God. So Lord, I'm a deadbeat human being. I'm a deadbeat Christian. I'm the most boring Christian there is. God, change me. Okay, you know what? I'm going to start loving people. Well, as soon as you start loving people, you'll find out people are unloving. You start to love people and they backstab you. So what do you do with that? Give up? Yes, you do. Most do. You give up. But when you start to love people and you realize you don't have the ability, who will you go to? You'll go to God. God, give me the ability to love people. And you know what you'll do? He'll start showing you how much he loves you. And when you realize how much he loves you, you can't help but give back and love people. So that's our vision.
You have been listening to There Is Hope with Pastor Richard Dover. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a victorious life. Seattle Open Door Church, located in Burien, committed to loving God, loving people, and loving life. Seattle Open Door Church wants you to know that regardless of where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. Their doors are open to anyone and everyone. Their services are Sunday mornings at 11. Seattle Open Door Church is located at 625 Southwest 149th Street in Burien, next to the Southwest Courthouse.